All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. I'm Scott from Koenig.
And I'm Luis from Koenig.
Still Luis from Koenig. Anyhow, so me and Luis from the block here, we're just hanging out doing that car thing that we do on Wednesdays. So, listen, before we get into our guest, and I want to get right into it. I don't want to spend too much time with all this stuff.
Okay.
We got tchotchkes all over the place. I don't know what... Oh, you can't really even see him. Anyhow. So, last Friday, we put up a piece of content.
Yep.
It's on our YouTube channel. Go check it out. If you're coming over from the live that we just did on Instagram and Facebook, we do it every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you stop by there. You can always ask questions. You can also leave questions here. We'll try to get to the comments before the end of the podcast if you want to throw them in. If you're listening to us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes, make sure you head over to our YouTube channel and get subscribed, because we're going to be doing some giveaways this month. I'm pretty sure it's this month. And we're only going to be talking about it on our YouTube channel. So that's the deal. Now,
without further ado.
Yeah. So listen, I'm super excited about our guest here.
Yes.
One, because you know I like a good technical conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I enjoy learning things that I inherently don't have enough knowledge on.
And the cool thing is that, you know, in the 5 years that I've been here with this company, this name has been around the block with us. Very much, you know, for some reason, usually when it comes to road racing, you hear this name.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that's, and that's what I think. I think we've had so many drivers, I think, that have intermingled, either been sponsored by or been a representative of, and we've always had great relationships with them. So it just makes sense. So, but without any further ado, I want to, the master of Aero.
Oh, right?
Nine Lives Racing,
Johnny
Tchaikovsky. There he is.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Listen, thanks for coming on here and doing this stuff. You know, it's so difficult now. You know how time-strapped everybody is.
You know what's funny, too? This is how I knew you guys were going to get along. What? Look at his logo, how he put it on the side. Yeah. Look at how we did it, too. Yo, see, man? It's like a match made in heaven, right?
When I said to them I thought I wanted the logo on the right, they straight up gave me... like dad jokes for like a week.
I'm so used to it being under the center, but at the end of the day, you know what? He likes
ours
on the
is
side.
So cool. So dang tall, right? You know, so it only fit on the side. So
Well, it looks good. So real quick before we do it, we're gonna have all the information about Nine Lives Racing in our description.
It's
so
already there. Cool.
That's there. But for people that may not know about Nine Lives Racing, give us a brief overlaps, you know, of what you guys do, what you are, you know, that type of thing.
So who we are in the real quick shoot, we are an aerodynamics company that focuses on bringing a really great performing product for less money than was previously available. So that's we use very interesting and very different manufacturing processes to do it. And that's how, you know, we've come to be.
Give people some background about how you kind of got started in, I don't want to say motorsport because that's, but aero specifically, right? Like, how did you find your way in to this being like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is what I want to do every day.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, when I started, I wasn't an aero guy.
Right.
If that makes sense, you know, kind of everyone has their little niche that they like to fall into.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how shocks work. you know, I wasn't an aero guy at all. I was a brake guy.
Right.
That was my forte, and that's where I'd started in professional motorsports. I was a field rep for PSC Brakes. I left there, kind of bounced around a couple places. I was always in racing ever since 2006. I personally club raced, and I was consulting on top teams, and I ran into a company called Elan, and they had an aluminum airfoil that they told me, like, hey, you got to try this. You got to put it on your car. And I was like, no. That's a terrible idea. You know, and they hounded me for like 2 years. I was helping out on the NPO1 project, and eventually I was like, all right, screw it. I'll just put it on my car, you know. And they gave me one, and I put it on, and I ran Road Atlanta. I went. I had a competitor's wing on at the time, and when I switched them out, I went 7 miles an hour faster in the back straight and 5 miles an hour faster through the corners just from a wing swap. And I was like, wow, this thing's really good.
Right.
And I told a couple buddies. Next thing you know, they told two friends, and it's been like a total grassroots movement. Just, I wish I could claim it's my idea. It totally wasn't. You know, I've just been doing my best to be the captain of it.
Right. And so it's interesting. So that stemmed from Elon. But so for people that don't know, I mean, I don't know how to describe them as a company, because I think my exposure for them probably is only through what I know that they do through NASA. You know, like, I know Jeremy Crissett pretty well. And so like we speak all the time about this development that he's been working together to get a class of. So give people a brief, because they're a massive entity.
Yeah. Yeah. Their history is insane. Yeah. It's probably in America. I don't think there's another car builder that could reach their history, you know, 24-hour Le Mans winners, Indy 500 car constructors, you know, you name it, they built it. They ran the Delta Wing for, you know, ever since Ganassi left the program, Don Panos grabbed it and ran with it. They ran the Esperante, probably will challenge cars out of here and everything. So it's
the pinnacle.
Yeah, and frankly, the building is wild, you know, because it's built only to build cars.
yes.
Like, their machine shop is in the heart of the building, and it's like you would never ever do that, because you have the way they would do it is bring in raw material and output cars out the back door, and, you know, big giant autoclaves that'll fit an entire car in it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a wild, wild facility to be around for sure.
So, and mind you, this is from me doing the research and stuff like that. I know you work for OG Racing. And that's how you got into the Elon and, you know, working on that. Like, now I know you went from working on the seats, but how did you end up, like, from going from that to Arrow?
Right.
So the seats was like a weird little side thing that I did. Like, I wanted a seat for my own car. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to do the seats and and I go, and I still get calls from pro teams to go do them. But It was never really like a thing where I stopped doing other stuff. It was like this little offshoot hobby that I had. You know, I went from PFC to OG, and OG was one of PFC's biggest distributors. So I was always doing brakes, always working with those guys. And I walked in, you know, to Elon, and, you know, and when I first started this, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, I don't know anything about Arrow. You know, I wasn't even a passing interest, and then it hit me like how much performance you can get from it. And I was like, I need to get somebody around me that knows what they're doing, because you can only fake it for so long.
Yeah.
And it's when I brought in Rob Lindsay, who was the lead engineer for the NPO1. His desk is actually right over here now.
What's up?
And yeah, he's the brains of it all. So I spent my entire career being the middleman between engineers and customers, right? And
it's a tough place to be, Johnny.
Yeah, it's definitely a niche.
Yeah,
I am not the only one that does it.
Right,
but it definitely helps keep everyone happy. But yeah, so I just do that more now, or I kind of take the information that he gives me, I process it down the little chunks that normal human beings can understand, and then help them go faster.
Right. So take me on a journey through some of the development that, because I mean, so you start when Nine Lives starts out, how big are they?
It was, when Nine Lives started out, we were a race team first,
right?
So it was like, you know, me, Joel, Alex, a few guys, you know, I think you guys know Devin, and we were just, it was just an excuse to like hang out and have fun, you know, and we're like, well, maybe this takes off somewhere. And when the wings started like doing something, my wife's like, what are we going to call it? And I'm like, well, we got so much brand recognition with Nine Lives. Let's just keep it.
Right.
And so we just plugged it right in there and off she went.
Which was funny too, because I also heard this, and I wanted Scott to kind of hear, like, how did that name come about? Just because I feel like the origin of the story is really interesting.
Oh no, you know the origin?
Yeah. I heard.
I do my best to keep that secret.
Oh man! All right. Oh, we don't have to say it if you don't want to.
Yeah, well, we can like cruise right by it.
I like to tell everybody that, you know how Batman's scared of bats?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Well, listen. I mean, we're not gonna.
we're not gonna put it out there. We're gonna have a mystery.
Well, from what it's started as and what it is now are two different things, right? And what it means to everybody else, like, we have a huge following, and what it means to them is what I want it to be.
Yeah, right.
You know, what it means to everyone when they look at our brand, I'm like, oh man, that's, and then I don't want it to be clouded by some
obscure story. Right. Yeah. Right. So we'll leave all the rest of that crap behind. So
I appreciate it.
we start out, what year is it, is the startup?
We took our first order in 2018.
Mm. So now, as I choke, we fast forward 4 years, roughly.
Yeah.
How many people you have?
We have he's counting. Four in the back. Rob sits over here.
Yeah.
and then May answers the phone. So what's that?
Yeah, like seven, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, but it's you know, and I don't think people will understand this. First off, you're talking about a company that's incredibly niche within an area, right? Like, this is not, you're not going to sell this at Walmart. This is a very fine-tuned product. And in addition to that, it requires a lot of effort to push this stuff, not just to sell it, but to develop it. Because look, I mean, you guys do all the manufacturing in-house.
Everything.
What kind of technology do we have in this building now?
it's wild over the 4 years of just what kind of rocket ship this thing has been.
Yeah.
You know, we, like you said, we're incredibly niche. We only do motorsports. You know, a guy rolls in with a show car, I'm sorry, I'm kicking you out.
Right.
You know, that's not us, you know, you'll end up pissed. But if you got a race car, you know, we're your guys. So that's kind of the jam.
Yeah.
But yeah, the everything, we have everything that we need to do it in-house, because every time I would get an excuse from a supplier about how long they were taking, I would get really mad and I'd say screw it, and I just buy the equipment that they were using and just bring it in-house and do it ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough working with supply chain when you don't have control. You start to realize the things that you don't have control over are the things that either end up with errors or end up costing you all these headaches and trying to figure out how to come up with a pivot at the last moment sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I hate, you know, when someone calls me up and they say, what, you know, where's my stuff? And I have to tell them, you know, like, oh, it's still a powder coating. Like, no, that doesn't sit well with me at all. So I'm like, no, we'll just do it ourselves. We'll, you know, we'll knock it out and we'll scale ourselves to be whatever it needs to be.
So how does the, let's walk through the process for me as far as, how do we build, let's just talk about the wings, because you guys do other aero components.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just talk about a wing for a second. So how does this come to life? What I think is interesting, and this is why I think, just to elaborate maybe for some people that aren't super, they don't know you too much, why you made that comment about the show car, and it's because your wings are very basic looking, in the sense of the end plates and some different things, but it's because they're functionally driven. We're not, you want to come in here and have one of those cool, crazy wings that don't really do much, but look awesome. Like, there's other companies for that. It's not what you guys do. That's what you meant.
Yeah. If someone comes up to me and says, your wings look great, I'm like, wow, great. 'Cause that's completely by accident.
Right.
That's a real nice compliment, because we just go out and we just build it to run. And, you know, what we want to do is win races at the end of the day. And if it looks good, that's an extra bonus.
So what's the process for how do you get started? Into the door, we say we do everything in-house.
Yep.
To take me through kind of the bits and pieces in its basic form of a wing from start to finish. Comes in as raw aluminum?
Yes. Yeah, so we have rights to the die for the airfoil, you know, that very specific airfoil shape.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to it for as well, as far as like wall thickness and material and things like that to make sure that we're getting a good part. We then take that, we cut them down to size. You know, each car in each kit has a different size. So you know, because that way we build the wings to the rules. And everybody's, you know, we're not going to do this one off. Like, we'll just bolt six of these wings to eight different, or one of these wings to eight different cars. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's not how you get the best performance. So we size them to the size that you need, you know, need to be for your car. Chop them. We then prepare the surface, you know, and that's where you get your choice of powder coating, leaving it raw, or a vinyls wing kit. And then the order gets shot over to our CNC machines where we cut out every single bracket. You know, and each bracket is individual to your car. You know, we're not going to have like one bracket height that's like this. We're going to have one set that puts that wing right at your roof line, so you're legal. And comes off the CNCs, goes through our sandblaster. I weld them up, goes through our powder coating ovens, goes in the box. That's where it meets the wing, and it shoots out the door.
Yeah. Oh. It's... Man, I don't even know how to ask this question because I feel like I might accidentally sound really obnoxious. But so some of these wings are so blatantly like you watch these cars and some of them are super, you know, they're wrapped with all these cool designs and different things. And then this wing just sticks out like a sore thumb. But where super I'm going with this without sounding like too much of an a-hole is that you have all these different bracketry and mounts to the chassis and ways that you kind of get these things set up on the vehicles. And some of them are blatantly super high and some of them are not. And some have these end plates that look like they came out of Game of Thrones. but how does it come there? How do you get to these points where there's the differentiations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it comes down a lot to what people want, you know, and we have, like, for the end plates, like, we start off with a basic end plate, and that's literally what we call it, and that's just a very small end plate, so that way you have one.
Right.
A lot of times, guys are in different classes where they're horsepower limited. Now, so they're like, okay, where can we reduce some drag out of this wing? Where can we give our racers an advantage? And so that we start coming up with different end plates that reduce the drag. Some increase horsepower or downforce, you know, and then the wing height itself, like, we'll stick it right at the roof height because that's where the clean air is, you know, and that's where the rules say that's where it needs to be. So we're like, all right, let's do it. And as far as I know, we're the only one that does that.
Yeah. So can you give me, and again, any information that you say, hey, well, that's proprietary or anything, because I just don't know. Like, I've been around cars long enough and I've done some racing, but I've never gotten to the stage where I needed to modify a road race car. You know, I've done some autocross here and there, but I've never done anything to the point where I had aero all over my car. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the ins and the outs. But like, so what, tell me, when you start to figure some of these things out, how do you start? Like we've seen a couple pictures that we've been putting up for people as we talk, and some of them are things like where the spoiler's mounted, you know, halfway through the middle of the rear glass. Other times it's exactly at the roof line, like you've been mentioning. What is like, how does this change some of the downforce and some of the performance?
Well, the first thing we need to do when we start, is we just look at where the car is in relation to its class, right?
Okay.
So are we, like a good example, NASA runoffs this year, we're at Daytona. And Daytona is an insanely top speed driven track, you know, less downforce needed. So for our racers for that one, I went through and I rebuilt all their pylons to lower the wing down to make it half height because they needed the top speed. You know, we had, some S2000s out there trying to compete with Corvettes, and, you know, and so we needed to get the top speed back up. So we're looking at the class, we're looking at where they sit and how we can get them a performance advantage over, you know, guys that are running someone else's car, you know, someone else's wing, where they just kind of bought the kit.
Right. No, it makes sense. It's, you know, and I think like, and you correct me at any point if I totally steer.
You want to just start shooting out
If I start gearing into a cliff, you just stop me. But like essentially, like I've always thought of a wing, essentially almost as a flap on an airplane, right? A wing, right?
Absolutely.
Where basically what we're doing here is we're taking air and we're trying to grab it. So when you put it at a roof line, what you're saying why clean air is that's where the most amount of air that has not been interrupted by the flow over the vehicle is.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And as we lower it, because we're actually shielding the air the same way as if you put something in the back of a pickup truck and now the cab is blocking the mm-hmm. air, all of a sudden you're getting an air reduction. So as you bring this down, you're going to get less downforce because you have less air pushing mm-hmm. on to the top of the wing. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So now with the wings, now you have a way of angling them and changing the way mm-hmm. that they pitch. How does change? I mean, obviously I can think about it in the sense of an airplane again, but like,
yeah.
How do you, as a racer, let's say I have my wing installed, how do I know what I want to do with the pitch and the angle that I set it up as?
Okay. So I got you. So what we, what wings do is they add traction, right? So they add weight, and that's calculated in what we call downforce, right? So by pounds.
Yep.
Weight adds grip, right? Now, when you get to a turn, there's that weight is also can also be in a mass, right? So if you just put like 50 pounds in your trunk, you're going to have good grip off the corners, but as you go around a turn, centripetal force is going to pull that weight out, right? Okay. It's going to push you out. So what we do with downforce is we add weight without adding mass. So when you go around the turn, suddenly that mass isn't going to pull you out of the way, but you just get all the benefits of the weight pushing down. And so what we do when you set your angle of attack, you know, that's what they call it, when the angle of the wing.
Right.
What we want to do is get that rear end planted. But if you have too much angle in it, all of a sudden the car won't want to turn. You'll be turning the wheel and it'll push. And it'll just generally just burn up your front tires. So that's when you start letting some wing angle out of it. I generally tell everybody, set it at a really high angle, like 8 degrees, and reduce the angle of attack 1 degree every time you go out. And what you're looking for is for that grip in the front to come back. And once it does, stop. You're right where you want to be. You have a good balance in the car.
Yeah.
So, and this is a question that we talked about before too. So for example, all cars are different. Obviously shaped differently. So when it comes to, you know, like let's say, for example, I have a Ford Fiesta and I come to you and I say, listen, I want to hit it. I want to put it on the track. Obviously, it's not going to be the same as like the same type of arrow that S2K would have, you know. So how does that happen? How do we do that?
So something like that, it's you really want the weight from your arrow load to match the weight of the chassis.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? So we're going to get a moment, right? So you want that number to match, because what happens is as you start going faster, if it doesn't match, the handling will switch on you.
Yeah.
Right. So as you start getting over 100 miles an hour, that's why a lot of times people are like freak out that their car, you know, they start going fast because most road cars just make lift.
Yeah.
I think we calculated out that the 350Z in stock form, if it goes 600 miles an hour, it'll take off. Like, it'll leave the ground.
Oh, all right. Well, I got new goals now. That's a good thing.
Yeah, right? 600 is the number. And so what the car is doing is actually, as you go faster, it's trying to pull itself off the ground. So now your balance is shifting all over the place.
Right.
So what we come in is we usually put a splitter in a wing. That's like the easiest two things to do. And then we adjust the rear wing's pitch so that way that balance is center. So on like a Fiesta, or a front wheel drive car, those are usually front heavy. We usually put like a smaller wing on the back, kind of relax it a little bit. And that way the front end will do all the grip.
That makes sense. Now,
on that S2000, it's a little bit more rear bias. Now we can get away with putting more wing in it. You know, now we can do a little bit bigger wing. We can get away with a lot of different things like that.
Do you remember years ago? I mean, it's got to be almost maybe 15 years ago. Chris Rado. He used mm-hmm. to run that Scion TC with all the wings on the front and the back and the thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and you were fast.
So what's your just give me a quick and I wish I had told Max about this. I would have loved to show this picture. Give me your quick take on something like that. What I mean, it's I remember looking at it when it first came out, and I remember I was standing right over there when they were first bringing the car out of the Scion trailer, and I remember being like, what are they going to do with that?
I mean, making downforce can be a real challenge on the front of the car.
Yeah.
I mean, you get lucky because you got all that clean air, but sometimes it can be a real challenge. And what's easier than just sticking a wing on it?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I'm going to shake the camera up a little bit.
Nice.
In our showroom, I got my car.
So okay.
I got
one yesterday. Yeah.
And we experimented with that. I called it the chrome horn because our wings are aluminum and shiny.
Yeah, yeah.
We put a chrome horn on the thing, and we tried it out. We gave it a shot, and I ended up not liking it mostly because the internet hated it, and it didn't really go faster. it's kind of like an easy button. Just stick a wing on stuff.
Right.
So in those early days of the global, Global Time Attack, World Time Attack.
Yeah. Right. Event, yep.
Everybody was just kind of like just shooting for whatever they could to go faster.
Right. So now, when we start talking about going from a wing to, or for this purpose, the Big Wang, when we start going from the Big Wang and we start to enter into the front of cars. Now, obviously, there's a difference between, like we just said, between front-wheel drive cars and rear-wheel drive cars. So let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about adding aero to the front of a car. The goal is still the same. Are we trying to balance weight out between the front and the rear? How does that whole thing kind of come into?
So rear downforce is usually pretty easy to get.
Right.
Wings, diffusers, stuff like that. We can usually stack on a lot of rear downforce. Front downforce is usually pretty tricky. So for that, easy button is usually the splitter. Stick on a good size splitter. Make sure it goes back to the axle center line. A big flat plane on the front of the car, all that really is doing is giving that air something to grab onto, right? So that air is under there and it's already low pressure, and it's reaching for stuff underneath your car to hold onto. And if you don't give it anything, it'll just screw off and go do something else. So you want to you want that air to grab onto something and hold. And that's what a splitter will do for you.
So the splitters are angled though to catch a little bit of the air to push down on it, or are they?
Sometimes, sometimes they want to be angled. Sometimes they don't like it. It is just a flat piece. And you're getting that pressure difference, so on the top, you get that high pressure going over that slow moving air over the top, and you want that fast moving air underneath. So whatever you can do to get that air underneath to go faster, it's going to work out. Now, if you get too much angle in it, that air is going to tumble, get turbulent, and all of a sudden it's not moving so fast because it's spinning. So yeah, you want to have a nice clean area for that air to get onto. And that's kind of also like where splitter ramps come into place, where it gives a big void for that air to come out, and that just makes your splitter work better.
And that's why you'll see a lot of cars like the GTRs and even 350Zs and some of these cars that have a lot of undercar, plastic covers and diffusion panels, just to make sure that the air doesn't get stuck up in the chassis or in the engine bay or any place where it can kind of find a nook and cranny to kind of create that drag that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The biggest issue I always see with people building stuff, especially when they are building their own without much guidance. The biggest mistake I always see is the air needs to come in, and which they usually get just fine, but the air also has to leave.
Right.
And that's usually where they screw up, or that's where I see most mistakes happen, is on that leaving part. Like they'll have a beautifully built splitter, but then they'll have like a big wall behind it, or it goes like right into an oil pan or something. Right. Like that, the air needs to get out. So that helps increase the speed. So that's usually the biggest mistake I see.
So, and that's a lot of the, you want to make sure that if you're bringing one of those, splitters in the front, that you want to make sure that when the air gets underneath it, that it has a clear and clean path all the way to exit the car, right? Like that's the trick.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That'll help a lot for sure.
Now that helps them increase speed, right? Because we're sort of doing the opposite of downforce a little bit.
So what you, the way you make downforce is slow air over the top, fast air underneath.
Got it.
Right. So anything you can do to slow the air over the top of the car is going to help. Anything you do to speed it up underneath is going to bring that thing down.
See, like, this makes a ton of sense to me now. Like, it's it's funny. It's like I'm starting to hear things like this. But I think, like, for a guy like me who's been around a lot and done some of this stuff, I think if I'm feeling that way, there's probably a bunch of people that can listen to this and feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when I told you my whole career path has been taking what engineers say and turning it into
There you go. Listen, that's how it goes.
So, and now, like I said, you know, call me naive here because I'm learning as well and, you know, so obviously when you're making these components, these parts and whatnot, you're not guessing how to do it. You know, you obviously have a process that you go through it. How exactly do you get to that? Like, what do you guys do that gets you to these points of knowing this information?
That's where Rob comes in heavily.
Right.
He comes in with a company called Moreland. So Rob generally is like the aero go-to guy for a lot of pro racing. Kind of think Andrew Brilliant, but for IMSA. So he's the guy that kind of, he'll go through an entire car, use what he's seen, and kind of give you kind of pointers. And then the next level up from that is we bring a car in and we scan it and we actually put it into the computers. Once it's in the computers, we run it, you know, do a million tests. Once the tests are done, we take it to the track. You know, we're 4 minutes from Road Atlanta. We test it there. And then finally we go to the wind tunnel and we get the final numbers to validate our computer numbers.
Yeah. So that's an interesting amount of technology there, right? Like, so let's walk through that for people that just missed what happened there.
Yeah,
we can use a computer-aided model to simulate what this, you know, 3D scanned in, how everything's set up, angle of attack, wing angle, height, all that stuff, and we basically simulate
the spacing.
Yeah, we simulate like air moving through the car, and
we simulate the air. We simulate the car punching through air. Everyone likes to think that it's air being blown, and it's not. We have to simulate the car punching through it because that's what it's actually doing.
Right. So, I understand. But so I understand what you mean, because you know the car is trying to push its way through a wall of wind versus the air kind of just leisurely moving its way around the car.
Yeah.
Right. And you got to get those wheels spinning, because turning wheels can change everything.
Mm. Well, that's how we feel. You know what I mean? But when we start talking about getting a vehicle, we start with this computer-aided model. We then are able to fine-tune everything, get everything set and situated the way we think in theory it's going to go. We then build it, put it on a car, take the car to the track. Are we using a data acquisition system? Is that how we're getting that collective data?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, any kind of data acquisition we can get our hands on, we stick it on there and give it a shot. Usually we can kind of say, you know, between Rob's and my experience, we can usually go like, this car's going to go X amount miles per hour faster, this kind of lap time better. But then we also definitely plug it in and grab as much data as we can.
Now, for obviously, you know, you probably have your chassis that you guys are kind of know what the deal is for each chassis. When something like a new chassis comes in, like what exactly, like what's the process of that? Do you guys constantly keep testing and testing until you get it right? Or
so first thing you got to do is clear your mind. I've never been more wrong in my life than doing this job. Like, there's been tons of times I'm like, oh, that's definitely going to be this way, and then we run it and it's like, nope. First thing you gotta do is clear your mind and just be ready to be wrong. Take a few guesses at it and just see where it ends up. But constant development is always good. You know, like on the Miatas and stuff like that, I think we've gotten through 50 or 60 different iterations of various parts and things like that over the years. It's constantly pushing. You know, we want to be on the top step, and people are out there trying to beat us. So, I'm not gonna let that happen.
So, man, it's interesting. So we go from a computer model to data acquisition systems, then we move on to, I guess, possibly tweaks and like whatever it may be. But then at some point you're on a wind tunnel and you're actually verifying data in a very controlled environment.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone kind of gets like really pent up on wind tunnels, you know, as like the end all be all. It's like, unless that wind tunnel has the tires moving, you really got to take the data with a grain of salt too.
Yeah.
So there's no real, this is it kind of moment for anything. Because, you know, in a wind tunnel, the air is perfect. You know, it's definitely controlled. But when you're on a racetrack, the air's not perfect. Now, all of a sudden, you're coming behind another car that's turned up a bunch of air. You're getting cross breezes. You're getting, you know, weird things sitting on the side of the track that are disrupting the air. So there's never a, like, foolproof, this is perfect.
Right.
Right. But yeah. Between doing all three of the processes, we get a really good idea of what it is.
It's interesting. It's like, you know, I guess the best way in my head that equates it is like you could take an airplane to check the fuselage and the wing design, all that stuff, and you could put it in a wind tunnel. But yep. Then as soon as you put it in the real world where the engines are on and it's now funneling air through the, you know, through the engines, and all of a sudden you have wind that's blowing at different, you know, different angles and different positions. All that data kind of becomes a little bit of null and void.
Right. And that's where the computer simulation comes so important, because we can go through and we can change parts rapidly. We can be like, that didn't work. And we can get these parts in and out of the computer in a matter of days, is where if we had to build it and take it to a wind tunnel, now all of a sudden it's taken weeks or months. So the computer software isn't perfect, but it's super fast for building parts.
Right. It's a big thing to have that kind of technology at your fingertips, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one thing that kind of comes into my head is, I understand the whole positioning of price point. I think we share mm-hmm. some similarities there company-wise that you do. So when we start talking about some of the things that are out there, composites and some of these different other mm-hmm. materials, is there any thought, have you guys ever had any thought about going into that arena, playing with that sort of thing? Is it just so cost prohibitive for you versus how much aluminum is versus, you know what I mean? Like what are your thoughts on that?
So doing, we do definitely have composites available to a lot of people. So actually, take a shop tour real quick.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, it's a new shop, right?
Field trips.
It's a new
shop, by the way.
Guys came and did the video on our old shop,
congrats.
So entry on the new shop where we got the car. Back there,
look at that.
So this is the aluminum manufacturing side.
Yeah, look at that.
We have, and I'm pretty sure the lights are off. No, I turned them on. Our composite, which is something that we've kind of grown into. It's just the price point on it. But yeah, so like this is our carbon dual element wing. Nice. You know, so we just got our second flap design and built. You know, so it's it's definitely a process that we're going into. Mm-hmm. And we want to be there for every racer, not just the club racers are in my heart, because that's who I am. But we want to be there for everyone, including the top tier pro racers as well.
Your product line right now, what are the different aero components that can be purchased?
If you call us, we can build anything.
Right.
If you go on our website, so let me put that back in, which is right there. Wings and splitters are the two big ones. So we have our rocket nose splitter, which we use a birch core. And then we coat it with a plastic exterior shell that you can drag for miles and use it as pretty good. We wanted to make a splitter that was inexpensive, that, it's not going to be this world-crushing thing when you blast it off a curb, or you jump it at, you're going to be worried about jumping it at turn three at Road Atlanta. And then, of course, our wing kits as well. The wing kits are, basically what we've been talking about this whole time.
Right. But so now, you offer a custom service, though. You allow people, if they wanted to, right? Like, they can bring their car down to your location, am I right?
Yep.
And they can basically have the car 3D scanned, where you can do some of the computer-aided models, and you can build them this custom aero package to help them achieve whatever goals they really have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've had lots of racers come in and drop their car off with us for, a day. We do the scan, we send them back home, we get to work, and start building the computer model, and we can build parts for them off of that, you know, whether it be wing kits, like canards, splitter ramps. Basically, we find out what's the flaws in the chassis and then how do we fix them.
Right. That's awesome. It's such a cool thing. Now, is that generally an expensive service, or is that something that, like, it's expensive, like, maybe compared to just buying a wing and strapping it onto your car, but not expensive in the grand scheme of, you know, totality?
If you're going to the wind tunnel, it's cheap.
Okay.
Right? And the reason I say that is, it dollar for dollar, it's going to be less money.
Right.
You're going to walk away with parts of it when you're done. Like, as opposed to the wind tunnel, you're probably going to walk away with more questions and the need to go back again a little bit later. You know, it's two payments, $2,000, so it's not an outrageous amount.
Yep.
It's probably going to be outside the budget of some club racers.
Right.
But if you're out there trying to, you know, win nationals or something like that, you're probably going to spend more money than that just on, you know, trying out different brake pads.
Right. And not to mention that you could waste a whole year in events trying different aero concoctions that come up with in your own head versus having proven data and parts on your car in one day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, in a week or so. Yeah.
No, I just meant, like, you know, you drop your car for a day and then, you know, you don't have to do anything except come back.
Like, right. You know, the guys at Grassroots Motorsports just did that. Yeah. So we gave them the service, you know, we let them run wild on their 350Z, and we gave them a wing and a splitter perfectly sized to balance their chassis out.
Yeah.
And they're heading out on the 18th to go try it out. And I'm, you know, based on previous examples, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a phone call where they're going to be pretty happy.
Mm. Yeah. It's crazy. I think our wheels are on that car too.
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. Is it what is it? The car?
It's that red 350Z, right?
Yeah, the LS1.
Yep. So, I mean, it's interesting to know, but it's also, if anybody's ever played with you know, trying to match this stuff, it is a, when you don't know what you're doing, it is the most black art ever. It is. And like you said, like, you have years and years of proven experience now making these things, and even your guesses sometimes turn the other way and kind of go the wrong direction. So it just shows you how difficult sometimes it can be to guess. And when you don't have those tools and that technology at your fingertips to really get it right, all you have is your data acquisition systems and events, which means you could waste an infinite amount of time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we did like Tom's car on that 350Z, right? It's got that big bull nose on the front. You know, 350Zs are flat in the front. And I'm like, man, that looks a lot like a Miata, you know, like with our air dam kit. Like, and the Miatas love making front downforce. They just eat it up. And so I'm like, man, this thing's going to be, we're going to put a 3-inch splitter on this thing and it's going to be good. And I was way off. Like, we had to go up to a 5-inch splitter. We had to do ramps, canards. Like, it just did not want to make front downforce. So, you know, even my guesses after doing this for so long, I was still wrong. You just got to be ready for it.
So now it is like, so you engineer that whole thing for their 350. Is that if for other 350s, you know, asking for a friend, if for some reason, like, they were to look at that car and kind of mimic some of the shapes, and does that really get them close? Like, the guess it, like, when you look at that car, and I guess what I'm using for is in reference to, I'm a racer. I start out. I show up at my first autocross. My Time Attack event. And I look to the 350. I'm driving a 350. I look to the 350Z next to me. And he's got this aero that I know he knows what he's doing. Can I
get close? You know, he spent a lot of money.
Right. That's right. Do I get close, or does every car have its own nuances to change it?
Yeah. Every car has its own nuances. You know, I went down to Nationals this year and we pushed hard into Corvettes last year.
Yeah.
And we did our own CFD work. We released our C5 information. If anybody wants to see that, just jump on our website, you know, or shoot us an email. We'll send you a link for it. And as I'm walking down the pit paddock, I'm like, he's wrong. He's wrong. Yeah. He's wrong. I'm like, that wing's $6,000 and wrong.
Right.
You know, like, okay, like, and our guys walked away, you know, pretty good out of that event.
Yeah, that's it really is such, it's so crazy. Like, when you think about it, there's so many big, expensive, good looking, really wild CNC parts, the bolt to the chassis. I mean, you could look at some of these sites and say, man, that is the answer.
Yeah.
And just be totally off.
And way off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we push so hard using using CFD. It's just because we know how wrong we can be, and when I sit back and look at people, and I even offer the service to other aero companies, I'm like, hey, guess who wants to run that for you? Cause it might be great.
Right.
like we'll run it for you, and they'll help you sell the stuff. And they're usually like, no, it's fine. I'm like, well, you're literally telling your customers how it works, you're just gonna let them guess, okay.
I think that there's an element, and again, I don't have anybody in mind, so I'm not picking anybody out, but I think there's an element of sometimes I don't want to know, right? Because if you know that it doesn't work well, and you've already developed them all, and they're all sitting on the shelf, the last thing maybe somebody wants to do is go back and say, well, it's not the best wing we've ever sold,
we should have made it 4 inches taller. Yeah, right. Like thousands of kits.
Yeah. That's crazy. So let me come at this a little bit differently real quick before we start to wrap up.
Okay.
If I'm a guy that is attending, let's say I just got some skill with some HPDE. I've started to get myself onto the track, and I've now gotten myself to a point where I really do. I've come to the conclusion that I need a daily so that I can take the car I have now and convert it into my weekend/race car.
Yeah.
Where should I start? If I'm the guy at home and I'm just like, where do I start?
So. Well, I start right away by putting a wing on splitter on everything.
Okay.
So, but that's, I kind of.
Well, yeah.
Start off with your safety gear. That's always where you need to go. Mm-hmm. It's hard to order another wing if you're dead. So call up my boys over at OG, and get yourself good seat, good harness, get yourself good cage. And then at that point, now you're out there and you've got a car that's gonna take care of you if something bad happens. And then at that point, now it's like starting to look for speed. And you're not going to find, for a wing kit or our aero kit on the Miata is $1,500, $1,700, somewhere around there. And it'll drop 3 seconds a lap on average.
Wow.
That's a lot. Not even a supercharger kit will get you that much, and they're going to cost you $2,000 more. So, putting a wing and a splitter on it is just like putting a set of Hoosiers on it, except you don't have to buy a second set.
Wow. All right. So if I have, let's say I'm a piecemeal racer in the sense that just have enough money to do maybe one part here, one part there. My first go-to on any chassis, is it always just going to be the wing, or is sometimes it's the splitter and sometimes it's the wing if I have to pick one?
Yes, so always do the wing first.
All right.
It's one of those safety things. I always like to say, if you just do a splitter, that's instant death.
Is that right?
Because your front end is super planted and your rear end is getting lifted by the air coming over your car.
Got it.
So as soon as you go through that first turn, it's just going to want to spin you out.
That makes sense.
If you do it the other way and you put a wing on the car, the rear end is planted and the thing's just not going to want to turn sometimes, and I've seen people put splitters on the car and not go faster. And that's usually what you're getting out of a splitter is that your front tires aren't getting chewed to death. So your front tires will suddenly start living a lot longer. And if you it might not be this huge, performance, aha thing by putting a splitter on, but it's, now all of a sudden you're going to get a bit more even balance, going to be a bit more consistent.
Wow. No,
always wing first.
So now, are there some, is it fair to say that 99% of the spoilers that come in cars factory don't do diddly?
it depends.
I'm not talking about McLarens here. I'm not talking about.
Yeah, no, like a C7, like a Z06 C7.
Yeah, right.
Or a Z06, that rear spoiler, that big wall of air thing, that'll make downforce. It'll make a ton of drag, but that'll make downforce. I know the Viper ACR, that thing makes downforce. Oh, okay. Actually, no, you guys have built the wings. But your Toyota Corolla,
Probably
not. The C8 high wing, you know. Probably not too much. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's super interesting. It's like, you know, you get all these things and, you know, put extra for the spoiler.
So yeah. Now, the reason why I was excited to bring you on is because one of the things I know about your company is the love that you have for motorsports in general, and just being a car guy, being a car enthusiast. I mean, listening to your podcasts that you've done before and stuff like that. I mean, you started Nine Lives Racing, started as a racing team before it created components, you know. My question is, you know, now that you've gotten this far and creating components, but you're also on the track, what does the future of Nine Lives Racing look like?
So my hobby has morphed from driving and being, you know, like one of the racers to building a manufacturing plant, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of dawned on me after we moved here that I was like, man, this is my hobby now, because it takes so much time, so much effort. And I'm like, okay, I can't. Like, I'll still do an arrive and drive. My buddy Mike Gorman just started his own arrive and drive company. And so I'm like, dude, let's go. Like, I need a weekend off. Let's just do it. But other than that, we'll do some more development to this here Miata. I'm building a twin turbo Corvette. I think Ferris out there is running around crushing lap records, and I want to go join him. So,
C5, C6.
We got a C5.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to go out there and join him. I don't know if I'll beat him or not. Like, I know I definitely won't. I'm a terrible driver. but we got a couple pros in our pockets that, you know, we'll be like, hey.
Yeah, you go. Yeah. You just show this what's up.
Now,
yeah, let us know how bad it is.
Last question, just because, I mean, I've seen their presence and I see it all over the place. Hashtag Big Wang.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the Wang gang. Like, you guys have so much support with a lot of your followers. So tell us a little bit about that.
So it's really down to the fact that this isn't my idea, right? So when we first started, I'm like, man, I'm going to sell like 7 of these, and, you know, and I keep working at OG, and it just kept going. And so everyone was like, oh, what are you going to call it? I'm like, I don't know. What do you guys want to call it? Like, I literally didn't name it. I didn't do any of it. You know, they were like, oh, we should call it the Wang. And I'm like, sure. Let's get the Wang of this. You know? Yeah. And when I started, I'm like, I don't really want customers. I want a big community of guys just helping each other out, you know, and, you know, kind of like how Nine Lives was at the beginning. It was just a bunch of dudes. And, you know, if one of us wasn't racing, we showed up anyway to help change tires. So we did the air pressure or what have you. I was like, oh, let's have a gang, you know. And they're like, okay, Wang gang. And I'm like, all right, sure, that works. And then next thing you know, it exploded, and, you know, now we're, you know, about 50% of any field that allows wings, that's the Wang gang. So
right.
I was like, all right, cool, you guys do it, you know.
That's awesome. He kind of just wanged it for success. You know what I mean? Like, just
nice.
You know,
nice.
What I mean?
All right.
Just
I'm sure he's heard that before.
That's actually a first.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Listen,
we try to do exclusive things here on this podcast. This is not.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Johnny. Yeah, the thing is, that's the reason why I was excited, even for you guys to kind of meet, because, you know, that's our thing here. We really are car enthusiasts. We like to talk to people who have a passion for this. Obviously, like I said, I know a little bit about you and stuff like that, so it was exciting to have that conversation with you. And more than anything, I think we're excited to even work alongside with you. You know, a lot of the guys that we have, that we work with, already have your components on it, and they have our wheels on it. So it was just inevitable that we kind of have this conversation, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, thanks for letting the world see this place, because I tell you what, I just put my head down and work so much, I forget to tell anybody about it. So thanks for helping us. Thanks for helping Joel, for sure.
Where are you located right now? Where's your new shop?
Actually, it's going to be kind of weird. It's the Delta Wing race shop. We kind of got a line on this. We knew the guys with the building, and we're like, hey, right. we need a we need a big shop. And they're like, well, we got one. And I'm like, perfect, let's do it. Nice. And, so yeah, we moved into the race shop. That's why there's room for a car over here.
Where is the location though?
Georgia.
Yeah, in Georgia, it's northeast Atlanta.
Okay.
We're right next to Road Atlanta, like literally a 5-minute drive. We could probably take the race car and drive to the track and the cop wouldn't see us.
Oh, that's crazy. So maybe the next time we're at Road Atlanta, maybe we'll stop by for an actual tour.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, that's awesome. I'll tell you, there's just something about like even like being around. I've tried to play with composites before.
Uh-huh.
It was a horrible mess.
It's funny because like I'm not like as much like I always said I wasn't an aero guy. Like I am fighting the composite thing. Like I don't want to get my hands dirty in it. Like you know,
I get it.
Like we got guys here that do it. You know, yeah. They're magicians. Like because they'll just sit there and they'll put the bag together and they do all this work and then all of a sudden poof out comes apart
and it looks great.
Poof out or poof ah it's ruined. You know, like there's no,
yeah,
and then it's done. That's it. Like if it was aluminum, I could fix it.
Yeah. You know? Oh, wait. No. Listen, I get it.
Yeah,
I love. Yeah, like I'm super into like welding, metalwork, and stuff like that. But yeah. I really have this unearned confidence that I have with certain things that just like you know I believe in my mechanical ability. So I often look at something and I say that I can do. Like I'm going to do that. It's going to be super great. And I remember I spent a lot of money because when you go from zero to nothing with composites, you have to buy everything. So you buy all this stuff and I straight up and I remember being like, oh, this is going to be so dope. And I pulled it out of the bag and it was a pile of crap. I mean, it was awful. And I just said to myself, that was a big lesson learned.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause it's like, you got your just starters, right?
Yeah.
And then your dudes that have been doing it for like since dawn time and all their stuff comes out looking like just polished. Glass,
perfect.
Beautifulness. Yeah. And then there's motorsports carbon, which is like, like right in the middle. Like
yeah, yeah.
You go see like a P2 car or P3 car.
Yeah.
Like the carbon, like there's pinholes and there's, you know, there's stuff wrong with it. And I'm like, and when we first shipped out a carbon wing to one of these guys that, was only used to the beautiful stuff. He was like, "What is this?" I'm like, "Well, I'm like, come with me to an IMSA race." You know, like, come see all these cars. It's motorsports. You know,
yeah, right. That's it, we like right. We motorsport composite's more like good enough composite.
Yeah, well, it's like it's there to win a race,
right?
And you're probably gonna have some dude smash it. You know? Right. So you're thinking about that the whole time you're building it.
All right, one last question because I just thought of it, and it's like,
oh, let it keep rolling. Yeah. I don't mind.
So, all right, so is there a speed? For example, when we start talking about aero, is there a speed at which you start to say, all right, now you need aero? For example, I'm a drift guy and I'm a pro-am drifter, and I'm going to be getting up to speeds of, let's say, 80 miles an hour before I start to initiate. So I'm going to scrub a lot of speed going into that first turn, not really ever going to pick it back up. Maybe I'm wheels, you know, wheel speeds up there, but maybe my car speed is only moving, you know, 40, 50 miles an hour tops. Are there considerations there that I should still take for downforce, or am I really not going to see much of a benefit?
45 miles an hour.
Okay.
That's where you start. That's where the wings start working.
Ah,
Everyone's always like, oh, you need to do 150 for it to work. Like, no, 45. Actually, it was funny. Like I was, when I delivered one of the first wings, I was carrying it at Road Atlanta and it was, upside down. And as I was carrying it, I was noticing it was feeling lighter and I didn't notice I was facing a breeze. I'm like, whoa, this is wild, you know?
Right.
So, but for drifting, it's tough, you know, because
well, change directions so fast.
Yeah, well, you change directions so fast, and it's not really a time thing,
yeah,
which is where we specialize in,
right?
You know, we're all about dropping lap times, so it's, you know, you guys are a bit more dirt car-y, you know, side of the thing, you know, so you want to get a bit more side, you want to get sideways, you want it to hook. I mean, you can always put a wing on it, and it'll make more smoke, you know, at higher speeds because you get more grip and more push down on the tire. But other than that, it's pretty tough one for drifting. You know, it's hard for me to go like, oh, you definitely need it, you know.
Yeah, no, right. I
venture, Miata, you definitely need it, but
right. Yeah, no, I get it. It's just, you know, you think about in terms of racing, like there's always that thing of looking for grip, right? Grip mm-hmm. is, you know, whether it's in the front or the rear or this or that, the other thing, and you know, just thinking about, you know, there are some times, like I think Rotoland is such a good one, because when they hit that first, when they come down that horseshoe and they get into that first turn, like they're mm-hmm. moving, they're cooking, you know, yeah. They're doing $120, $130 on that straight before they initiate. So, mm-hmm. you know, who knows?
Yeah.
45 yeah, exactly. miles an hour. That's good. I really didn't think you were going to have an answer yeah. for that.
Oh, no, stupid it's me. Always, yeah. Yeah. Autocross guys get me.
Yeah.
You know, they always do say two things. One, we're not going fast enough. And two, drag doesn't matter.
Right.
And which is, I'm like,
right.
I'm like, I've never gone faster in an autocross with my headlights up than right. I have with them down, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, it matters. It always matters.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's like, mm-hmm. that's such an important tip. Like now that I asked that question, like, I think it's completely relevant. Like 45 mm-hmm. miles an hour. Think about that. Like there are so many people that could pick up, and you know, you talk about autocross, but like how many times do you get done with an autocross race and they post all this, the times and stuff, and you're, you know, so close to somebody because the track's not really that long, right?
Yeah.
You shave off just fractions here, there, like all of yeah. a sudden it might be the difference between
100%,
you know, a first place finish and a third place finish.
Yeah. I've been within thousands.
Yeah.
I've had me like now my best friends of, I've been like within thousands of them battling all day long.
Right.
You know? So it's like, yeah, if you can pick up a 10th,
right,
you're rocking. You're yeah. way out ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Listen, thanks. I really, not only did I personally learn a lot, which is always where I get my biggest joy out of this, but but I think it's cool, because I think that for the people that will go back and watch this, and hopefully a lot of them do, I think there's a lot of good information for people just in general about getting their feet kind of wet and getting their wang into things with air, yeah. you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we do. We're the we're the gateway parts.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a good bumper sticker. You guys should get on that.
Don't tell me. I make a lot of bumper stickers.
That's cool. All right, man. Listen, I let you go. Thank you so much. And the next time we're in Atlanta, we're gonna see if we can link up with you and swing by and take a look for ourselves.
And Johnny, you already know you have our contact now. And if you ever need anything, you're always welcome to hit us up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Same way. If you guys need something, give us a shout. You know, nightlastracing.com. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks. And we'll have all your information below, so we'll allow people to click away.
All right. All right.
Cool, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one, Johnny.
All right. See you guys.
Man, those are the best ones. Those are the best conversations, is that when you come away with so much information. You know, I think about, and so just to be clear with people, you know, you talk about race cars, but if you're going to be a spirited street driver, if you're going to be, you know, the best person I think about that comes to my head all the time, this is like, let's say my dad in his Corvette, right? He's got a C5 Corvette. The car doesn't have a wing on it,
mm-hmm.
no aero. He's not a race car driver, but he likes to spiritedly drive his vehicle. You talk about 45 miles an hour now,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you hit that going to get a bagel. So what I'm saying is, I guess, you know, if you're going to take your car once in a while to the track, if you're going to be doing even, you know, now you start talking about drag racing, if you're going to be doing, you know, road racing, autocross, time attack, anything like that, there is a good measure about where you should start thinking about where you can find benefits to your car as is. And thinking about cars, you know, like when you start getting into traction, you know, everybody gets super obsessed. Tire compounds, suspension, all this stuff. And yeah, no, like not taking any of that away, but like aero.
Mm-hmm.
For many people, I think it's the last thing that they think of, especially since, you know, bolting on some of these things. And I do call them things, because I think even Johnny would agree that some of these are battle weapons.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. But it was super good conversation. I enjoyed it.
No, same. And that's like I mentioned even in the conversation, is the reason why I kind of wanted to have that conversation with him, because, you know, it's cool things to know. A lot of people that kind of come on to listen are either new to the sport or whatever it may be, that they're the track that they're what they're racing in and whatnot. So it's kind of cool to have that conversation about aero, learn a little bit about aero, And if you want any other information about it, you can always hit up Nine Lives Racing.
Yeah, hit them up.
Their website is join right the Wang down gang. There.
Join the Wang gang.
We're in the Wang gang.
Oh, whoa. All right. That's it. Listen, don't forget we have a piece of content coming out on Friday on our YouTube channels. We do every Friday, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Don't forget to get subscribed if you're not already, because if you are subscribed on our YouTube channel, you will know when we're doing giveaways and some other things, and you'll get to listen to us do cool things on our YouTube channel. I don't care what anybody says, they're cool things.
I think so, too.
So that's pretty much it. Take care of yourself. Have a good week. We'll be back here next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, as we are every single week. Take care of yourself.
Peace.